Being from Kentucky, y'all know that I love my basketball, which means the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is one of my favorite times of year. From morning to night, it is basketball all day long. My mom was a special education teacher at Bardstown, and I remember as a kid, her classroom would do a March Madness bracket, and they'd always have those Thursday and Friday games on. If the games got close, whatever class I was in, and that's just, is my microphone dying? I'll preach from the pulpit today. Well, y'all say I start over. That's like the scariest words to ever hear from a preacher, right? Being from Kentucky, y'all know that I love my basketball, right? My mom was a special education teacher, and I remember as a kid, her classroom would do a March Madness bracket, and they would always have those Thursday and Friday games on. If a game got close, she'd call the teacher of whatever class I was in and say that she needed me to come by her classroom for a minute. From there, I'd sneak in about 30 minutes to catch the ending of some of the most exciting basketball games. Last second shots, a chorus of cheers for the underdogs to pull off the upset. Kentucky usually wasn't playing, so we didn't care who won as long as it was exciting. That's kind of what March Madness is all about, right? I'd check in until it was over, and then no matter the result, I could check out right after to return to my normal rhythm of the day. It's easy to join the crowd when you're not risking anything. If you've ever been to camp, you've surely sung the song The Little Red Wagon. Do y'all know that one? Yeah, Ella does. The song starts at a whisper, then it builds on itself, words repeating, getting louder and louder until everyone is shouting at the top of their lungs and it is completely out of control. That is what is in my head when I picture Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem that marks the beginning of the Passion narrative. Jesus and his disciples have been building a movement. It started small. In Luke's gospel that we read from this morning, we remember Jesus' first sermon in the synagogue, where after he preached a particularly prophetic word, people questioned him. Wait, isn't that Joseph's son? Jesus and his disciples kept moving. The movement kept growing. By this point in the story, we've heard Jesus tell parables that challenged the way people lived. We've seen them break bread with people they weren't supposed to. There's been healings and miracles, louder and louder. A movement has been building. Jesus' reputation has grown, and so with it have the possibilities, the expectations of peace and salvation, as well as the tensions with the powers that be. We know by this point Jesus' reputation has spread as he sends his disciples ahead to bring him a colt to ride in on. Also see donkey. When the owner sees the disciples taking the colt and question them, their response, "The Lord needs it," doesn't prompt the colt's owner to call the police. Rather, it is enough for the owner to say, "Oh yeah, of course, take it." Jesus' reputation precedes him. And then Jesus begins to ride down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, and Luke tells us the whole multitude of disciples are praising God, spreading their cloaks along the road. Notice Luke doesn't say anything about palms. They're shouting joyfully and loudly for all the deeds of the power that they've seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. A movement has grown, quietly at first, until here it has reached its peak. I imagine it's euphoric. It's filled with expectation and excitement. The hope for peace is upon them. The crowd is clamoring for it. Nothing will silence them. Luke says that some of the Pharisees begged Jesus to order the crowd to stop, but I tell you, Jesus says, even if these were silent, the stones would shout out. The crowd shouts for change, for things to be different. They call for peace, for salvation. And in a scene almost straight out of Zechariah, we find riding in on a donkey the king who will save them. Surely, though, not in the way we expect. I wonder how many people joined the crowd just because it was forming. Maybe they joined in, or maybe they just watched and appreciated the commotion. When I lived in Nashville, we spent almost every Sunday night in this hole-in-the-wall place called the Station Inn. It's a legendary Music City fixture where many bluegrass and country greats would play. Concert posters line the wall of Earl Scruggs and Lester Flatt and Bill Monroe. As recently as 2 years ago, John Prine played there. I thought it was just the coolest place. We went every Sunday night for their bluegrass jam. Some of Nashville's best bluegrass musicians would sit in a circle, somebody would call out a song, and they'd just play for hours. I saw a 10-year-old kid play the best fiddle I have ever seen at the bluegrass jam at the Station Inn. We'd sit in the crowd, cheering them on, maybe even yelling a song request, and I'd joke every week about how one day I was going to bring my banjo in and make my way into that circle. But I never did. It scared me. I was afraid that I might not be able to hold my own or I'd embarrass myself. I knew I would have been welcome to join and always thought, man, it would be so fun to play with those folks. I was comfortable with where I was. I was in the crowd, yet not all the way in. It's easy to join the crowd when you're not risking anything. Amy Jill Levine says that when she reads about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, she's reminded of the scene from the musical Hello, Dolly, where Dolly sings a song before the parade passes by. Dolly, who finds that her own life is passing by without fulfillment, realizes that she just can't stand on the sidelines anymore. She sings of longing for something to reach for and to motivate her. I want to feel my heart coming alive again, she says. AJ writes that Jesus' triumphal entry should make our hearts want to come alive all over again. Something long known but not yet experienced, something exciting, revelatory is coming. And we are called into the procession of justice, of compassion, of peace, of a vision of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of as God wants it to be. We are called into the procession to be part of the parade, and yet here's the thing. It's easy to join in the crowd when we're not risking anything. You see, we know what happens with the rest of the story. Just as Jesus rides in as a king with a crowd following him, so too is Pilate entering Jerusalem. Confrontation is inevitable. And so we have to ask, what happens now? What happens when the crowd disperses and the excitement wears off? Do we return to the normal rhythm of our day? Do we remain silent as the gospel encounters what is comfortable and familiar? Do we jump all the way in and risk being changed by what we're a part of? We know the story that follows. The confrontation, the fear, the betrayal, the grief, the cross. Where do we find ourselves in the story then? Every year, Palm Sunday is one of my favorites. There is this anticipation and excitement of what is to come and what is possible. And y'all, I can feel my heart coming alive all over again. We want to be in the procession of God's kingdom, yet we know if we're going to be in this crowd, we're going to have to risk something. And so we are challenged to let go of silence and instead cultivate the truth that salvation comes to our world in ways that we don't expect. That Jesus, born in a stable, comes on a donkey, meek and humble, in relationship with the most vulnerable, rooted in the power of love. It's easy to join in the crowd when we're not risking anything. Yet God calls us into the procession, knowing that when the parade is over, the work of our faith really begins. When all that excitement wears off, that is when we bear witness to the truth about a God that comes into relationship with the least of these, the hurting, the broken, a God who created the world and all that is in it in God's holy image, a God that loves abundantly and unconditionally, a God who promises to make broken things whole, a God who shows that life will always overcome death. We can't stand on the sidelines. The circle is open to us, and you are good enough, and you are invited. Before the parade passes by, we recognize that something long known, something exciting, life-changing is coming. We are called into the procession of justice, of compassion, of love, of a vision of the kingdom as God wants it to be. And as we journey into the depths and darkness, the risk of Holy Week, may our hearts come alive all over again. Amen.